This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
World Water Day on BFM 89.9, brought to you by Inda Water Consortium, New Life for Water.
It is 6:38 and you are listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn. And now we're continuing our celebration and observation of World Water Day in a time where it is more important than ever. So before the news, we spoke about our water habits and water wastage. And our next story is actually going to be about water pollution and illegal dumping. Of course, you may remember one of the worst incidences from recent times that was related to all of this was the Sungai Kim Kim pollution. Thousands of people were affected. Mostly, if I recall correctly, school students, after illegal chemical waste was dumped into the river in Pasigudang. And of course, like I mentioned earlier, closer to Selangor, we faced water cuts and disruptions several times last year. And just last week in, I guess, the mother of all bad timing announcements. And all of this just because of pollution. So clearly, more action is needed. Last year, in response to Sungai Kim Kim and other incidents like it, the Malaysian Bar said that the contamination of water sources must be seen as a threat to national security and well-being. And it's also really important in the midst of all of this to understand why water pollution still happens in the first place, who's perpetrating it, and what can be done about it. Because, of course, water disruptions at best are an inconvenience and hopefully a short one. But at worst, it can threaten lives and livelihoods, especially at a time when water is so very crucial to helping us keep clean and healthy. So earlier, actually, our guest was Dato' Abdul Kadir Mohamed Din, who's the president of the Malaysian Water Association. And he mentioned that perhaps we need a water audit and perhaps the people to do that could be SPUN. So coincidentally or not, on the line with us is Charles Santiago, who's the chairman of SPUN. Charles, welcome to the show.
Hi, Lynn. How are you?
Good, thank you. So
happy Water Day.
Happy Water Day to you. How have you been holding up? Firstly, I suppose we do need to ask, how have you been feeling?
You mean the lockdown?
Yes.
Well, you have no choice. I think we have all of us as citizens of the country have to follow the government in terms of the lockdown, especially on practicing social distancing. I think this is quite important. But at the same time, they're using their Facebook to reaching out to people in order to educate them on social distancing, as well as to provide food support for families that are quite challenged at this moment. Mm. So it's been a challenge. Although I'm at home, but I'm working.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are joining you on that. So coming back to this idea of water pollution, right, which is what we wanted to talk about, we have, of course, like we were talking about earlier, seen quite a few instances where our water sources were polluted due to illegal dumping. I guess, can you talk to us firstly about what constitutes illegal dumping? What are people generally putting in the water? Why is this problem persisting?
Let me just answer this question with a very interesting experience that took place 2 months ago. Maybe 4 or 5 weeks ago. Yeah. We went for a trip, an on-site visit to Kedah. We met the Kedah water operators, and subsequently we went to a site visit to Sungai Petani. And we went to visit a particular river called the Ulu Muda River, which is actually a very, very important river for Penang, Kedah, and Perlis. And just next to the river, we found huge amounts of plastic, electronic waste, as well as industrial waste. And this was dumped a month ago, and it was dumped on sand mining that took place many, many months ago, or many years ago. It was a big hole, and we were actually standing on the plastic pollution. And what happens is, now the water, through the leachate process, as well as is going to pollute the Ulu Muda River. And as you know, Ulu Muda River provides water to Penang, it provides water to Kedah, as well as to Perlis. And on top of that, 70,000 farmers in Kedah use that water for rice production. It's supposed to be the rice bowl of Malaysia. Now, what we see here is a very conscious, deliberate attempt by individuals and businesses as well in order to pollute the water source. And this is not only having an impact on fish, but on all sea life, including people who are now consuming water, which is used for rice production, vegetable production, and so on and so forth. So the pollution is going to come back to hurt us in a very, very big way. Now, having said that, we also have new pollutants. This is pharmaceutical pollution you have in the rivers these days, as well as cosmetic pollution in the river. So on top of plastic, electronic waste pollution, industrial waste, we also have pharmaceuticals as well as cosmetic pollution in our rivers.
And is it fair then to say that the main perpetrators of water pollution would be on an industrial level as opposed to an individual level?
I think it's both. It's both. Industrial level, of course, is a huge amount, but individuals too are also responsible for polluting the rivers. This is something that's going on. 50% or maybe 40 to 50% of our pollution in our rivers are sewage pollution. And then you also have domestic pig droppings, chicken droppings, and so on, also flooding into the rivers, also polluting the rivers. So this is industrial. It is small businessmen, small and medium industries, big business communities, and also third-party waste disposable companies. Third-party waste disposable companies are companies that are hired by individual companies, individual firms. And these companies' focus is to a role or responsibility is to take away the waste from those factories. But instead of they recycling it or working on it or disposing it in the way it should be, they're actually dumping it in the river. Now, this was the case that happened in Selangor in September and December last year. And as a result of what they did, the entire state of Selangor was on a lockdown, water lockdown, if I can use that expression, for 4 days.
So in light of that, could you paint a picture of how much and how often river pollution can end up leading to water disruption? I mean, you just gave one example there, but have there been other incidences where we've seen water disruption being directly linked to river pollution?
Actually, you can see that it's an increasing trend all over the country. River pollution is becoming one of the big reasons of water disconnections. And that is why we have to really ramp up on enforcement and also the laws. At this time, the laws are not very strict or not very stringent. The penalties are very minor. And therefore, right now, there is a review process underway in order to increase the penalty and also make the companies, this does not mean the worker who is responsible for polluting, but the manager, including the directors, there will be a penalty. And I think we're looking at a 5-year ban on all of them to start up another recycling or a waste disposable company, or any company for the matter. So I think we really have to be very serious.
Right. And so I guess that leads me to this question that I've been thinking about. When it comes to these substances and all these issues of waste and so on, is the dumping happening in the river, you know, purely because of an issue of mindset to the idea that, oh, you know, it's just more efficient this way, it's easy, it's cheap, I don't have to think about it. You know, is that lack of enforcement and that mindset the reason why people are choosing to do this instead of disposing of these substances in, I suppose, the proper way?
Well, I guess one is cheap. You just find a river or a hole somewhere or a hole near close to a river and you just dump it. It's very, very cheap. All you need is a transport vehicle that could transport from the factory to this particular falls or river. We can do that. And of course, enforcement is the other issue. In the case of Selangor, enforcement is much better compared to the other states. But despite that, you still have a problem in Selangor because you know, LUAS, which is the Lembaga Urusan Air Selangor, its responsibility is to manage all the river water waste in Selangor. It does a good job, I must say. However, because the river is huge, it can't cover all every centimeter, every kilometer. So there must be an effort to ensure that the waterways are cleaned of pollution. And the suggestion that we have been floating in the last 6 months is one, to set up a standalone National Water Authority, National River Authority, National River Protection Authority. That's one. And then the spaces next to all rivers should be made a security area.
And
go ahead.
No, sorry, please proceed. So you were saying a security area.
A security area,
mm-hmm.
Which is manned by the local police or the RELA, or in fact, sometimes the local water operator has their own security personnel. So when you have that space, it's actually a security space. You can't get into that space. And you have CCTVs and you have many gadgets now, many mechanisms to stop people from getting into it and also observing who is getting into the space. I think time has come for Malaysia and the government to take that very seriously. Otherwise, we're going to have many of these pollutions, which is going to be a major detriment to the economy and to the daily reproductive life of people, the way we, you know, the society reproduces itself. And you will have a problem of no water. And you can't blame the local water operator, because the local water operator has to give you clean drinking water. But he can only give you clean drinking water, safe and clean drinking water, only when there is water, when the rivers are dirty. So they will stop it. And therefore, I think the attention now must go towards enforcement. And as I said earlier, that we need to look at a National River Protection Authority, as well as to have clear space just next to rivers, wherever they are, especially the very big ones, the important ones, the critical ones, you know, and then you get at them. And then they are public, they are protected spaces. I think this is something that we really have to do as a matter of urgency.
So there have also been suggestions to implement technology, actually, to detect pollution in order to be able to address the problem as promptly as possible. Would you say that it's feasible? You know, is that something that could be done?
It could be done. It could be done. That's what I'm saying. Just once you establish a space, then technology is a second issue.
Mm.
But you have to establish that space. And of course, the issue that comes up is the issue of finance, money. And this is where the federal government has to dump in the money, because the states are not, it's not feasible for states to pay for that, given that the states are all from, you know, surviving from hand to mouth, except for one or two.
In light of that, could you also give us an idea of cost in terms of how much it costs to carry out cleanups once there is, you know, an identified source of pollution?
I can tell you it runs into a million.
Mm.
Because and sometimes in the case of Selangor, I think Selangor has spent millions of dollars. And just to rectify the problem, I think IWK, I think it was told to me that they will spend something like about $20 million just to provide a security for that area, so that the area will not be used by anybody else in order to pollute the waterways.
And on that note, while we're talking about things that could be done, our guest earlier on the show, who's the president of the Malaysian Water Association, Dato' Abdul Kadir Mohamed Din, did suggest carrying out water audits on the industrial sector and said that this is a matter of some urgency. What are your thoughts on that?
There are many water audits. I'm not clear which water audit he's referring to.
He's just saying that there should be one. He said that I think, if I'm quoting him correctly, he said that as of this moment, he's not aware whether there are sort of whether there is a large-scale water audit happening. So his suggestion is that there should be one.
No, as I said earlier, there are many kinds of water audits. There are many aspects to water audit.
Sure.
So I'm not sure what he's referring to. But I think at this moment in time, what we really need is enforcement, use of enforcement. And number two, new ways of thinking, or thinking out of the box, in order to solve some of these issues. And if water audits should be one of them, then definitely we should bring that on board. I think we have spoken about this problem for a long time, but now the government has to now move on to this, move on and do something about this very quickly, because pollution is becoming the major problem, not only in Selangor, but the entire country. And one of the problems that we have with high levels of pollution is that the cost of treating water becomes very expensive.
Would a pollution tax enter the picture then?
Well, that's something that one has to consider, the government has to consider. Given that a lot of our treatment plants were built in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, and now you have new pollutants. As I said, you know, pharmaceutical pollution, you have cosmetic pollution, you have plastic pollution, we have industrial waste. You know, there's so many kinds of pollution. Let me just share with you, in Ayaganda Perak, we had to close down a water treatment plant because of arsenic poisoning. So that's why I'm impressing upon everybody, including the new government, that water should be given the highest level priority, and it should be put up as a national security, as part of national security. I think that's how we should look at water.
We do have a WhatsApp message from a listener named Vicky who wants to know, who should one report it to if one sees a lorry tipping bags of garbage into the river?
When it comes to garbage, I guess river garbage and so on, there are a couple of authorities one can report to. One is, of course, the local authorities in a particular area. Number two is Lembaga Urusan Air Selangor. And then you also have to inform Air Selangor to tell them where exactly the dumping is taking place. And all of them have their own reporting mechanism. You just have to figure out what they're reporting, the phone numbers, their email addresses, on Twitter. So just take a picture and tweet, and you'll hopefully get a response as soon as possible from LUAS, Air Selangor, as well as the local authorities.
Mm. And Charles, in closing, it is, of course, World Water Day. How can households and individuals overall be more responsible when it comes to our water usage?
I think this year, we use something like about 212 to 215 liters per day, which is quite high. And therefore, we need to reduce it to 209 or even less. As part of our daily consumption. Also, we need to embrace what you call conservation strategies, like rainwater harvesting. We need to embrace rainwater harvesting. And now there's technology available where even people who are staying in double-story houses, even in low-cost homes and so on and so forth, should be able to use rainwater harvesting as a way of trying to cut down on the use of processed water. In Malaysia, for example, I think Malaysia is the only few countries in the world where we use processed water to clean our cars, for example. So if you do rainwater harvesting in your home, you can use rainwater in order to clean your car, to wash your car, for example. I think we need to start looking at that, because water is a scarce resource. And you can be assured, that Malaysia will face scarcity of water in a matter of years. We are already facing lots of scarcity in different parts of Malaysia. So before it becomes a general problem, I think Malaysian citizens should take serious of this issue that we will have water scarcity. And like what we are having today, like the COVID virus, we are locked in. You have a situation where you have no water. And when you have no water, it's worse than being stuck in the house for 2 weeks or 3 weeks. So I think we really should be very careful. And I think government should encourage industries to go use of recycling water, and also to provide tax support for companies that want to use technology using less water. I think this is really quite important. And companies themselves can also by themselves install rainwater in their own companies as well. So there are many things that one can do. And I think the most important thing is that one, we need to protect existing sources of water. I think this is really important. That is the river. 97% of all water that we consume comes from the river. I think this is really important. Number two, catchment areas should be gutted, and the keys must be thrown away so nobody can find it.
Charles, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Thank you very much.
So that was Charles Santiago, the chairman of SPAN, talking to us about illegal dumping in our rivers and how it can lead to water disruption, as well as what needs to be done to curb the issue. Now we have to rush along to our 7 o'clock news. You're listening to the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.